What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. We will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And I realise that Martin has done a great job in explaining something of what baptism is, but I'd like us to take just a little moment to think about the significance of baptism and what it means, what difference it makes on a Monday morning. And I'm going to be addressing Anna and David throughout most of this, so it's going to sound like they've just got married, but but they haven't. Or maybe they have, just not in the way that we're thinking of it. Baptism is kind of like a marriage, and we're going to get to that, but my first point is rather more somber. That baptism is like a funeral. Baptism is like a funeral. Why is that? It's because today we recognize that a death has occurred. In the passage that I read earlier, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 say, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism, into death." Now, Anna and David, you are lovely young people. I've seen photos of David when he was a baby, and he is honestly angelic. Something's gone wrong since then. nevertheless, you are such a lovely young man. We get the privilege of spending every Friday evening with David, and I'd say particularly over the last year, it's been a joy to see David growing in confidence, and it's been great to see his personality shining out, and you are a big, strong guy. I am intimidated by you, but you are so gentle and so caring, and it's just lovely to see. And Anna as well. Anna, you're still angelic. Mel and I help, and Sophie as well, help lead this youth group on a Friday night. And we're supposed to be there to love and encourage the young people, to look out for them if they need a bit of help. But sometimes it goes the other way around. And actually, Anna is there to look after me and Mel when we need help. She is just so caring, so sensitive, and it's really lovely to see. You're both lovely young people. But as lovely as they are, Anna and David were both born on the wrong path, a dangerous path headed in the wrong direction. They were headed away from God. Although they were lovely and nice and polite as children, I'm sure, all the time, they didn't love God as they should have. They weren't worshipping God as they should have. They didn't trust God as he deserves to be trusted. That path away from God was a dangerous place to be, because it only leads in one direction. It leads towards death. Not just a physical death, but a separation from God, an eternal judgment because of sin. That's the path that David and Anna were on. But today we recognize that that death that they deserved has already happened. On the cross, Jesus faced the judgment of God. On the cross, the anger that each one of us deserved covered Jesus like a flood. It raised higher and higher and higher and higher and higher until Jesus was entirely submerged in the righteous judgment and anger of his Father. And Jesus died. He really did die, and he was buried. A death has occurred. And in just a moment, David, Anna, you're going to be invited up, and you are going to be submerged in water. Hopefully not for too long. By doing so, they are saying that Jesus' death is their death. They are trusting that Jesus has died the death that they deserve, the death that was rightly theirs. Or in the words that I've already quoted, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. All of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. That moment of submersion where they go under the water is a kind of burial. Anna and David, when you do that submersion, we are recognizing that your old life, the one that was on the wrong path, the one that deserved judgment, the one that faced the anger of God, no longer exists. It is gone. It is dead forever. And neither of you ever have to fear God's anger. Never. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are free from that forever. And we are recognizing that today. Well, what does this mean for you two and for the rest of us on a Monday morning? Well, again, in Paul's words in this chapter, shall we go on sinning? No way. No way. In this world, you're going to have to say no an awful lot. I'm going to use some imagery from one of the best books that you could possibly read, Pilgrim's Progress. As you walk the narrow path towards God, that path is going to seem difficult, rough, and winding. And you're going to be tempted to go one way or the other to find an easier route. No way. Say no to that. Sometimes the path ahead is going to look difficult. Sometimes friends will tell you to go their way. They will look at you on the path that you have chosen and they will try to drag you off it. They will say, think like us, act like us, feel like us. They will say, come with us on the path that we've chosen. No way. Stick on this path. Sometimes the fog will descend and you won't even see the path ahead. Everything inside you will want to give up. Everything inside you will want to say, no more, I can't do this. No way. Keep going. Say no to all those temptations. That old life, the one where you were walking away from God, it's gone. It's dead. So don't go back to that path. And remember, should you find yourself heading back in the wrong direction, you can always turn back again and again and again. Stay on that path. Baptism is like a funeral. But also, baptism is like a wedding. And we've already had some of this imagery. And let me just again affirm that David and Anna are not about to get married. Baptism is like a wedding because today we recognize that you have started a new life with Jesus. Jesus really did die. As he was buried, he was a completely lifeless corpse. There was no heartbeat. There was no brain activity. There were no life signs. He was entirely unresponsive. Until, boom, a miraculous heartbeat. And Jesus rose to new life and stepped out of the tomb. Amazing, unique, incredible. And yet, he didn't step out of that tomb alone. Remember a few minutes ago when I said you were going to be submerged in these waters? You can come up now. As you rise from the water, we recognize that you too have been resurrected. You too have been raised to new life. It's as if when Jesus stepped up out of the tomb, he brought you along too. And now you have begun a new life with him. When Mel and I got married, we began a new life together. We found a home together. We moved to London together. We really got to know each other. And now we couldn't imagine being apart. This has happened to you. This has happened to you. You have begun a new life with Jesus. In the words of Romans 6, verse 8, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." You have begun a new life with Christ. It begins, it's already begun, and it will continue forever. Your baptism is like a wedding, because you have started a new life with Jesus. So what does this mean on a Monday morning? Well, firstly, it means that you should invest time, David, Anna, everyone else, in getting to know Jesus. Spend time with him. Read this word that speaks of him. Pray to his Father. Think of him day by day. Spend time with other believers. Get to know your Savior. Grow to love him, to adore him, to worship him, until he is the most precious thing in your life. You will never regret a single moment spent with Jesus. Never. Get to know him more and more. And then secondly, live like Jesus. In the passage that we read earlier, it says that the life that Christ was raised to was to God. And your life is to be like that as well. Verse 13. "Do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." This is really exciting. You are going to be used by God. I don't know what sort of instrument you'll be. Maybe Anna will be a hammer. Maybe David will be a flute. I'm not sure. But God has a job for you, and he is going to use you. I don't know what sort of project he has planned for your life. But I'm so excited to see what that will be. And I would encourage you, as I completely lose it, to pray this prayer. God, use me in any way you want. Use me in any way you want. And I'd encourage all of us to do the same. This baptism is a wonderful testimony of what God has done in the lives of David and Anna. And I just encourage all of us to respond to this good news. This same new life is on offer to every single one of you. Jesus' arms are open wide to accept you. A new life is possible. And I just pray that you would accept that new life and put your faith in Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what you've done in the lives of David and Anna. Thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die the death that we all deserve. Father, we pray for them as they walk this narrow path, that they would not be tempted to turn aside. Father, we pray that you would keep them going. Father, we pray that this new life that they have begun with Jesus would bring them so much joy and would be such an inspiration to the rest of us. We pray that you would use them. We pray that you would bring great glory to your name because of them. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.